couple of the announcements for myself. I wanted to be the one that made them, and so I am. First of all, we are so glad that Georgina is with us today, and we're glad that Landon came with her, but we're really glad that Georgina is with us today. We might get to see Georgina and Landon much more now. She has accepted a scholarship at the University of Houston for advanced study. We're very, very proud that she is part of our family. We just have learned to love her so fast. I know I'm embarrassing you, but that's too bad. I get to do it. So we will be seeing them much more, but we're so proud of Georgina and her accomplishments, and we're just proud she's part of our family. And the other announcement I say for myself is that Lacey opened her eyes this afternoon. Her mother was there, and her mother asked her to squeeze her hand, and she did. And we are just so thrilled to hear that. I was really getting concerned, and we're still concerned, but I know this is such a lift for all of Lacey's family. It's a lift for all of us because we care for her so much also. Quite often we hear people talking about living their life, and they say, well, it's a journey, or it's a quest, or it's an adventure, and I don't have a problem with any of those. In fact, I probably agree with all of those. And we also will acknowledge that in this journey, this quest, this adventure, we all have the opportunity to make decisions about what road to choose, what path to choose. And again, we're all in complete agreement with that. Now, a difference between the world and us, a difference between those who do not acknowledge Jesus and those of us that do, we are also on a spiritual journey, adventure, quest, whatever you want to call it. And concerning our spiritual journey, we also have the privilege or the opportunity to make certain decisions about how we're going to live and how we're going to walk on that spiritual pathway. Now, the problem arises when some people, under the guise of religion, say, well, there are many, many, many roads, and as long as we're traveling one of those, it's just as good as another. Are there many, many paths to choose? In fact, some have even said you don't really have to be on a path because God is such a loving and merciful God, He would never condemn anyone or keep them from heaven. And we certainly understand that teaching is very, very, well, it's very appealing. And we are, as free moral agents, given that ability or that privilege to make that choice, to make those decisions. Now, on this journey that we call life, we will constantly be asked to make decisions of a physical nature. And those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, we're asked to make decisions of a spiritual nature. Those who are outside of Jesus don't have to answer any questions about Him. They just don't care. But we do. And again, a lot of people think there are a lot of ways that they can travel. Now, concerning physical life, we're in agreement. We might choose to be a preacher or an engineer or a housewife. Or we all make that choice. A lot of times we'll choose different professions, different occupations, even after this road to life is started. But listen very closely now. As a public speaker, I implore you to listen to all that I say concerning a spiritual life. There are also many paths that we can take. Some take the path of Buddhism, or Shintoism, or Taoism, or Hinduism, or some other kind of isms. There are people who believe in humanism, denominationalism, Scientology. Now, that's not what Jesus teaches. That's not what we believe. But again, as a free moral agent, they have the opportunity to make those decisions for themselves. On the day of judgment is when they will answer for that decision. Now, according to Jesus, there are only two spiritual paths. There's the right one and the wrong one. We can call them a host of different things, but there are only two. If we're not on the right path, we're on the wrong path, regardless of what it is called. And that is some of Jesus' most profound teaching found in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. I'm sure all of us are familiar with it, where Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life," that's eternal life, "and few there be that find it." I'm also going to make a reference to the NIV. Let me read the NIV also. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find that." Now, we know this teaching is found in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Jesus also made the same teaching at other times. Luke records a different time, but this is the one of which we are most familiar. And brethren, I truly believe with all of my heart, and I have no way of proving this, but I truly believe with all of my heart that many, or at least some, who were in Jesus' audience there on the side of the mountain were also in Peter's audience just a few years later on the day of Pentecost. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is preparing people for what would be required of them when the church would come into being. So I don't have any way of proving that, but I think it is very obvious the way things fell into place in Acts chapter 2 that such was the case. But even today, every one of us and everyone outside of the body of Christ needs to know about these two paths. Each of them have a beginning, and each of them have an end. One way is heavily populated. Jesus uses the word many to describe that, and the other is traveled by few. But everyone needs to ask, though many do not, every one of us needs to ask, am I on the right road? Am I on the right path? Am I going in the right direction? And if we are truly interested in going in the right direction, and if we find that we're not, we need to change. Now, to answer the question, let's look at what Jesus says. First of all, there are two gates. The King James calls one of the gates straight, and the NIV calls that gate, they also call it narrow. They call it narrow. But both of the other gates are called wide. Now, what is a gate? Well, a gate opens up the path. You know, maybe you have a fence and there's a gate and you open the fence and that allows you to go through to that path. It's a door that opens up. And this straight, narrow gate leads to one place, and that is life. Excuse me, that is eternal life. Now, the other one leads somewhere else. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the one gate that Jesus points out as narrow, the one gate that is called straight, leads to one place, and that is eternal life. Now, those are the facts. Allow me to just preach for just a minute. Why is the wide gate so popular? It's because it's so easy to travel. You don't have to do anything to travel on the wide gate, go through the wide gate. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have any responsibility, spiritually speaking, to anyone. It's the road of least resistance. It's all downhill. It's easy. It's convenient. There's no problems whatsoever. You can accept everything or you can accept nothing. It really doesn't matter. And you can bring with you any kind of baggage you want to. If you want to bring materialism with you, that's all right. If you want to bring an unforgiving heart or ingratitude, that's all right. There's no reason not to, because there are no restrictions. It's all downhill, path of least resistance. The other gate, though, the straight gate, the narrow gate, well, let me ask, why is it narrow? It's narrow because it's a gate that requires something. It requires self-sacrifice. It requires self-denial. It requires a personal responsibility. And many people, most people, almost all people, just don't want to give that up. You remember Jesus said on one occasion, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to put everything aside. You've got to learn self-denial. You've got to take up your cross and follow me. And that's not a headache or something like that. That's an instrument of death. We have to be willing to die for Jesus. And most people are just not ready for that. They're just not ready for that kind of commitment. It has no room for consuming desires like earthly goods. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Just don't worry about it. Lay up your treasures in heaven. It is in heaven that there are no moths to eat your treasures, no rust to ruin your treasures, no thieves to steal your treasures. For where your treasure is, that's heaven, that's where our heart is supposed to be also. That's Matthew 6:19-20. There's no room for an unforgiving spirit on that straight and narrow way. Jesus says, if you forgive people when they trespass against you, God will forgive you. But if you refuse, God will not give you that courtesy either. Also, there's no room for self-righteousness. One of my favorite teachings, actually, from the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 6. There at the very beginning of the chapter, Jesus is calling attention to the disciples about the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's talking about how they assume a posture of righteousness. And I know they exactly knew what he was talking about. He said, unless you, my disciples, unless your righteousness, your desire to be right, exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. So not only are there two gates, there are also two ways. The King James and the NIV both call them broad. This is a broad way. It leads to destruction and behavior. Any behavior one desires is okay. We can choose any lifestyle we want. And that's why so many people love this. They think it gives them freedom. They think it gives them open-mindedness. It makes them feel like they're tolerant. And anyone who doesn't accept their tolerance is called intolerant. And we are branded as hateful and bigoted. The word translated narrow or straight actually means constricted. The New King James translation is as constrictive or difficult. Brethren, this way is difficult, mainly because of the pressure the world places upon us. Not the pressure of God. God has made it very, very easy for us. We're doing the things we want to be doing anyway. It's the pressure of the world. And let's never think that once we're no longer a teenager, there's no such thing as peer pressure. It stays with us the rest of our life. Jesus says, unless your righteousness, your desire to be righteous, exceeds the desire of these religious men, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So it requires a change of behavior. Matthew 5:6-7, people are not interested in that. Because of its difficulty, most people just don't want to choose it. It's too confining, it's too narrow-minded, it's too old-fashioned, it's too out of date, it's too antiquated. I was even once called a moss-back knucklehead. I'm not exactly sure what they meant, but it wasn't a compliment, trust me. And then Jesus describes the two gates and the two ways. He also says there's two groups. And everybody falls into one of these two groups. One of them is defined as many. One of them is defined as few. And I always say this when I mention this passage. I don't know how many is many. And I don't know how few is few. But I know many is a whole lot more than few. Now again, why do the many choose that broad way? It's so easy. Again, there is no responsibility at all. Just come as you are. You don't have to make any changes. You don't have to believe in any rules. You don't have to have any rules. It's all downhill. Just do what you want. It's kind of like when you take a computer, and I'm not computer literate, so somebody's probably going to correct me. Please do it in a loving manner. And you push the default button, and it all goes back to the way it was originally. That's the way it seems to be with these people. Just push the default button. We all go back to the beginning of square one, and I can again do anything I want to. The most important thing that I will say in this lesson tonight is this. Those that travel the straight and narrow way are ones that are actively pursuing the straight and narrow way. We're not going to accidentally find ourselves on the road that leads to heaven. It's going to be a conscientious decision. And concerning the narrow path, few there be that find it. You know, it's always been that way. Always few are the ones who make it through a judgment. I don't know how many, perhaps millions of people, at least hundreds of thousands of people were alive at the time of the flood. I don't know. But I know only 8 came out on the other side, Noah and his family. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands, if that many, above the age of 21 went into the wilderness, but I know only 2 came out on the other side. That's Joshua and Caleb. So many will always be many, and few will always be few. And if we're numbered with the few, that means we're numbered in the minority. That means we're going to have to work harder to accomplish anything that the Lord wants us to accomplish. Jesus was teaching really the same teaching in Luke chapter 13. One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And Jesus said to him, "Strive to enter at the straight gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter it." They will want to enter it, but they will not be able. I don't know if this was the case, but I have seen in movies of Noah and the Ark, when God closed the door, people were scampering, trying to get into the Ark. Once that was closed, once the judgment is sealed, there is no escape. And finally, Jesus talks about the 2 destinations. One leads to destruction and one leads to life. The Apostle Paul wrote about this eternal destruction in 2 Thessalonians 1. Beginning with verse 7, "When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." 2 times in the book of Revelation, John refers to that destruction as a lake of fire. And the most sobering thing of Jesus' teaching is, many will go in thereat. The other destination is life. That's eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's the only way that we can get out of the confines of physical nature is by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, death will, but we don't want to die until we're through living. So Jesus gives us that eternal life. It's called everlasting life, Matthew 25. It's called a gift of God, Romans 6, 23. It's for those who have been set free, Romans chapter 6. In fact, the whole 6th chapter of Romans is talking about how we will be saved. It's for the children of righteousness. It's the fruit of holiness. And another sobering thought from Jesus' teaching: few there will be that find it. So this is what Jesus teaches. There are 2 gates, 2 ways, 2 groups of people, 2 destinations. Are there many ways that lead to eternal life? No, there's just one, and it's Jesus. My favorite passage of Scripture, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going." He was thinking physical thoughts. "We don't know how to get there." Jesus said, "I'm the way to get there. And no one will get there except by me." Now, it is very tempting to be a religious person and have no responsibility whatsoever. It just doesn't work that way. It would be very tempting to be a religious person and be able to set our own guidelines for religion. It just doesn't work that way. We're on one of two roads. One leads to heaven, the other does not. And so the obvious question is, are we on the right road? And if not, we need to correct that tonight. So if you need to, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing?